In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I'd like to wish you all a very blessed and holy Easter, and not only Easter, but the entire Easter season. And it is the prayer of the church, it is my prayer that we have risen from our sins, we have put off our sins with our penitential season of Lent, and now we are dead to those sins, dead to the old man, so that we now rise alive in Christ, and to really appreciate the life of our soul that is now been cleansed, we've been washed, we've renewed our baptismal vows. It is that spur to get us going again. It is the springtime of the year in nature, and our bodies are ready to start moving again. But more importantly, our bodies are useless. It's a waste of time to engage our bodies if our souls are not involved. We are creatures that have been given intelligence, reason. We are to think and to guide our bodies, guide our activities with our spirit, with our soul, to use this intelligence that God has given us in whatever way he has chosen to lead us in this life. And with this soul, not only do we have this intellect, this power to think, this power to remember, but we have, more importantly, a free will. And I know the world is trying to take that free will away from us. On the one hand, and then on the other hand, they go to the opposite extreme and think that we have a free will so we can do whatever we want. And that freedom is somehow license. And freedom is not license to sin, license to do anything. Freedom is being independent from the restraints of evil, the restraints of sin. And so we are free from sin. Once we have confessed our sins, we have done penance, we have amended our life, now we begin anew. We're free. And we must choose. What are we going to do with this freedom? This free will that God has given us, what are we going to choose? And the world and our society is directing our choices all the time. And it is really tragic to see the events unfold in the world around us. As the social media, as society guides the wills of our young minds. The will of our children are directed towards evil, towards license, away from God, and in slavery to the devil. And all the while we're enslaving the children to the devil, we're telling them that they're free, they can do their own thing, that they should be free to express themselves however they want, as long as they follow the fashion industry. And they dress according to this role model that society puts up there for them. As long as they act according to this role model, they're free and they're expressing themselves. And I can remember several years ago talking with a young man who's telling me that he is wearing a certain style of haircut and clothing because it is an expression of his self, his individuality. And I just laughed because you're not individual anymore. You're just copying everybody else. You're not the only one with this hairstyle. You're not the only one who dresses like this. You're not the only one who behaves this way. You didn't invent this. You're copying. We call this fashion. And we want to fit into the fashions of the world. And that's where the devil traps us. Currently, we have this fashion of the world where you can choose your own gender, your own identity. It doesn't matter what God made you. It doesn't matter what reality is. You can be whatever you want in the depths of your imagination. And now you can be whatever you want in the world out for everybody, and you can force everybody to acknowledge your mental disorder. Instead of helping those who have this mental disorder, we're encouraging everybody to develop it. And this is what the fashions, the devils have done to our free will. And I challenge young people, you want to be independent? You want to be your own person? Be virtuous. Be what God created you to be. And you will be unique. And you will stand out like a sore thumb in the world if you begin to follow God's law. Because then you will be different. In the early days of the church, the pagans looked at the Christians and they could tell who the Christians were. You see how they love one another? Do you see how they behave? It is obvious who is a Christian and who is not. By their dress, by their mannerisms, by their speech, by their activity, their whole life is different. They're not following the fashions of the world. They're not following some YouTube star or whatever they do these days. They are following Christ. And this, I believe, is the role model that we should be holding up to the world. Here is Christ. He came, took on our flesh. He is showing us the way to life, the way to live. And so often we think that if we're going to really live into this world, we have to offend God. You have to go and sow your oats, do your own thing. And then eventually, hopefully, you'll repent like the prodigal son and realize your foolish mistake. And then you'll have to come back with your head sagging, cast down. Father, forgive me. And you'll have this shame hanging over you for the rest of your life. And I suggest it would be better to avoid that step altogether. You don't need to do that. Say, but everybody else has done it. Everybody else does it. That doesn't mean you have to. You want to be truly independent? You want to be truly your own person? Don't go that road. Follow Christ. Learn of Christ, for he is meek and humble of heart. And he will lead you into eternal life of heaven. And of course, I know the world is going to tell you, well, if you follow Christ, you will have no fun in this world. You're not really living in this life if you're following Christ. It's so boring. It's so hard. It's so difficult. You don't get to do anything fun. I think nonsense. Those who followed Christ were happy. Christ was happy, is happy, even in the midst of his cross, his suffering. Christ is rejoicing. He is pleased when he multiplies the bread and the fishes to feed the multitude. There is joy in his heart when he sees the little children come to me. There is joy in his heart even as he went to Calvary. For he knew that by this sacrifice, by this difficulty in his life, he is helping those whom he loves. And when we're motivated by love, there is true joy in our hearts. There is true happiness. And then I say we are truly living in this world. We are truly living in this world when we live the life that God has called us to live. And when I often speak of vocations, I tell children, I said, when I was young, all the adults would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? And I tell you, that's the wrong question to be asking children. It doesn't matter what they want, because they don't know what they want. Oh, yes, they can see some role model the world has put up there. Oh, yeah, I'd kind of like to be like that. I'd like to make that much money. I'd like to live there. I'd like to do that. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. That's the wrong question. Yes, you can look at all these different role models, all these different vocations in the world, but the question we need to ask, what does God want me to do? And we should ask our children, what do you think God wants you to do? How does God want you to live your life here on earth? And I can tell you for a fact that if God gave you the body of a girl, he wants you to be a girl. And if he gave you the body of a boy, he wants you to be a boy. If he gave you the body of a young person, he wants you to be a young person. If he gave you the body of an old man, stop trying to be young. That's the body he gave you. That's the body you must live with. Let's not fight against the will of God, but begin to see the will of God all around us. And yes, it demands sacrifice. Yeah, I have to give up what I want sometimes. But when I give up something that I like, when I give up my own will, I am truly set free because I'm given greater things than ever before. For God has promised, he's going to make my cross light. He's going to make it sweet. He's going to make it a joy. All I have to do is embrace that cross for the love of him. And that's easy when I think of the cross that he embraced for the love of me. My cross is nothing compared to his. But the moment I begin to embrace the cross, the difficulty in my life, the moment I begin to buckle down and say, I want what God wants, it becomes easy. It becomes a joy. And if I engage in the things the world tells me that I want, that my fallen nature tells me I want, that my passions tell me I want, indulge in all the pleasures of the body and this world has to offer, what do I end up with? I ask you to ask any addict who has engaged his body, his life, in the pursuit of his pleasure. Look around. Pick any addiction you want and ask them. What were they after? They will tell you they wanted happiness. Whatever it is that they were in pursuit of, they want happiness. And what does it bring them? Oh, the pursuit of pleasure brings you a momentary pleasure, but it brings you a lot of grief, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of agony. And that's just the beginning, because then with all that is the remorse of conscience gnawing at you. And if you don't repent, it brings eternal damnation. The worm that never dies and continues to consume you. The fire that always burns and never goes out. Never gives us any relief. That's what awaits us as we pursue the pleasures of this world. As we pursue our own perverted wills. And all we need to really do is adopt the will of God. Lord, you know what is best. You haven't made any mistakes. My life may be difficult, it may be hard right now, but I have to believe that you know what is best, and therefore I accept this cross. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to fight against it. I'm not going to try and run away. I'm going to embrace this cross because I know you have sent it. I can't understand it, but it's not for me to understand. It's for me to believe that God has a plan, that God is in charge, that all things work for the good of those who love God. That's all I really need to understand. And if I believe that with my whole heart and soul, my life here on earth is filled with joy. A joy that no one can take away. A happiness that if you spit in my face, if you stone me to death, if you tear my skin and rip my clothes off, dip my body into boiling oil, tie me to a stake and burn me, there will be joy in my heart. And I ask you, just consider the martyrs and all that the martyrs have suffered. With many of them, we see that they went to their death rejoicing, with true happiness in their heart, content. It will all be okay. Christ died for me. I am happy to die for him. Christ rose from the dead. I will be elated to be able to rise from the dead with him. Christ opened the gates of heaven. It will be my greatest joy to pass through those gates with Christ. And so no longer do I have anything to fear from this world. I don't need to fear what people will say, what people will think, what they will do. And when I am free from that burden of worrying, concerning myself with what somebody else is going to say, what someone else is going to think, what someone else is going to do, when I can set all that aside, I am free. Now I can be the person that God has called me to be. I'm no longer under the restraints of the evil influences of this world. Christ has set us free, and I suggest that we cooperate with him. We take up this freedom, and we never turn back to that life of death that we're leaving behind. Benedictio te omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.